Picture this. You're a retired college professor, enjoying your golden years in a quiet mountain town. You've got your hobbies, your peace and quiet, and then one night, two strangers break in and murder you for your gun collection. Horrible, right? This is where things get really twisted. When Kay Mortensen's son and daughter-in-law found his body in November of 2009, police immediately suspected them for the murder. For months, this grieving family had to prove they didn't kill their own father while also trying to plan his funeral. Turns out the real killers had done something unthinkably cruel. After murdering Kay, they deliberately framed his family by tying them up and staging the crime scene. They turned victims into suspects just to save their own skins. Both men eventually got life in prison, but the Mortensen family had already endured a double trauma. It's a reminder that sometimes the real crime isn't just murder, but everything that comes after it.
It's Friday, and you're listening to MU Minis.
What is up, Crime Crew? Ed here from Murder Unscripted, and I'm going to welcome you to this week's MU Mini, where every Friday we cover big crime in a fraction of the time. Do not worry, because our full-length deep dives still drop every Tuesday on our YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts. This month, we're in a block called Small Town Secrets, where we're exploring cases in tiny, quiet communities. So be sure to hit that like and subscribe button so you don't miss out. Now let's get into this week's Mini. You know how some professors just stick with you? Kay Mortensen was one of those guys. For decades, he taught engineering at BYU, and his students will tell you he wasn't the flashy type. He was just a solid, patient professor, the kind who wanted to see you succeed, not just scrape by with C's. By 2009, at 70 years old, Kay had earned his quiet retirement up in Payson Canyon, Utah. Beautiful spot. Mountains, fresh air, the kind of place where you can finally relax after a lifetime of grading papers and explaining thermodynamics to 19-year-olds. Kay had this hobby that probably seems old-fashioned now. He collected guns. Not in a weird paranoid way, he was genuinely fascinated by firearms, their history, their craftsmanship. His collection was pretty impressive, too, which unfortunately turned out to be exactly the wrong thing to be known for. On November 16, 2009, Kay's son Roger and his wife Pamela were headed over to check on the old man. You know how it is with elderly parents, you start worrying if you haven't heard from them in a day or two. What they found when they walked into that house was the kind of thing that changes you forever. Kay was dead. Someone had slit his throat. The house was torn to shreds. Clearly searched, with the gun collection being the obvious target. Roger and Pamela were in complete shock. Imagine finding your father like that. They called 911, barely able to get the words out, trying to explain this terrible nightmare that they walked into. But here's where the story takes its first twisted turn. The cops didn't believe them. I get it. Police have to be suspicious. Family members kill each other more often than we like to talk about. And Roger and Pamela's story did have some inconsistencies. They were traumatized, probably not thinking straight. And trauma makes people say and do things that don't quite line up. But try to put yourself in their shoes for a second. You've just found your father brutally murdered. You're grieving. You're in shock. You can barely think. And instead of getting support and sympathy, suddenly everyone's looking at you like you're the monster. For almost a year, Roger and Pamela lived in this hell. They were arrested, released, and arrested again. Interrogated over and over and over. The story was picked apart, analyzed, and questioned from every angle. When the media got wind of it, suddenly their private tragedy was public entertainment. Can you imagine trying to grieve your father while reporters are camped outside your house? The family started falling apart. Some relatives stood by Roger and Pamela, but others? Well, doubt is a poison that spreads. Thanksgiving dinners became awkward affairs, phone calls went unanswered. The very people who should have been coming together to support each other were being torn apart at the seams. Meanwhile, the real killers were out there living their lives. That was until 2010, almost a full year later, that investigators finally tracked down the actual perpetrators, Martin Bond and Benjamin Redding. These weren't master criminals or anything. They were just two guys who heard about an old professor with his valuable gun collection and figured it would be easy money. When they broke into Kay's house, they didn't expect him to fight back. Kay was 70, but he wasn't going down without a fight. When he resisted, they panicked and killed him, slitting his throat in a moment of brutal violence that probably surprised even them. But here's where it gets really sick. When Roger and Pamela showed up at the worst possible moment, Bond and Redding had a choice. They could have run, they could have escaped through a back window or door, and been long gone before anyone knew what happened. Instead, they made the calculated decision that shows just how cruel people can be. They forced Roger and Pamela into the house at gunpoint, tie them up, and stage the whole scene to make it look like the family was involved. When Benjamin Redding finally confessed, he laid out the whole plan of how they targeted Kay specifically for his gun collection. Now everything went wrong when Kay fought back. But the part that really gets you is how matter-of-factly he described framing the family. Like it was no big deal, It's another step in the plan. Oh, then we tied up the son and daughter-in-law and made them look like they were guilty. Awful. Redding and Bond both get life without parole, which is exactly what they deserve. But for the Mortensen family, the convictions can't undo the damage caused. Roger and Pamela had to rebuild everything. Their reputations, their relationships, their sense of security. Some people in their community probably still wonder if the police were onto something. That's the insidious thing about false accusations. They plant seeds of doubt that can take root even when the truth comes out. The case became something of a cautionary tale, featured on shows like Dateline NBC, not because it was unique, but because it highlighted how quickly victims can become suspects and how sophisticated even amateur criminals can be when it comes to misdirection. It also shows how our appetite for true crime entertainment can add a layer of trauma to the victims' already grieving families. In all the drama, the investigations and trials and media coverage, it's easy to forget the man at the center of it all, Ray Mortensen. He wasn't just a murder victim, he was someone's father, a teacher who had touched countless lives during his career. His former students remembered him as the kind of professor who would stay after class to make sure you understood the material. He earned his peaceful retirement, his mountain home, his weekend afternoons tinkering with his gun collection. What strikes me most about this case is the ripple effect. It wasn't just Kay who was victimized, but it was everyone who loved him, too. The original crime was horrific enough, but then Bond and Redding's decision to frame the family created a whole secondary wave of devastation. The Mortensen case reminds us that behind every true crime story are real people dealing with unimaginable loss and trauma. It's not entertainment, it's human tragedy, with all the messy, complicated emotions that come with it. And sometimes the system designed to protect us can inflict almost as much damage as the original crime. What do you think? Have you ever heard of a case where the aftermath was almost as devastating as the original crime? Let us know in the comments below. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how we can better support families going through tragedies like this. That's all for this week's mini. Tune in on Tuesday for our next full-length deep dive, and until then, stay safe, stay curious, and stay unscripted.